Chris Schottschneider is with SSM Health Ripon Community Hospital. He is the athletic training lead. He is joining us this morning. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. Got a little bit of sunshine out there. Not much, but anyway.
We'll take it.
Yeah, taking what we can as it gets cold, gets warm, gets cold. Boy, we're in a pattern right now, so.
Welcome to spring in Wisconsin.
Right. What is it that you do at the hospital as the athletic training lead, Chris?
So I have been here for about 31 years, and I've inherited our wellness center. It's connected to the hospital, and so I oversee that. And then in addition to that, I am also an athletic trainer for Ripon and Markazan High Schools. And then I oversee our contracts at all of our other locations, pretty much the full Flywing Conference, a couple of schools in Fond du Lac, and Ripon College.
Okay. So does it cost much to join the Wellness Center? You can do that, right?
Yep. Wellness Center is open to the public, and our plans vary from anyone who may have a Medicare supplement, so they can join our facility for free. The names of those are Silver Sneakers, Silver and Fit, One Pass, kind of just depends on what your insurance company has. We have some discounted rates for students, but the general plan is $30 a month.
Mm-hmm. Seems
and
good.
Then you can have family members added to that for a little less.
Are you open 24/7? I'm asking, but I don't know. So
it is. It's open 24/7. And because it's connected to the hospital, you have a little bit higher level of care. We have some buttons in our facility that you can press, and if there's an emergency and you're only 30 seconds away from a ER physician. So it's a nice environment for people who don't necessarily want to work out in a box, in the middle of a commercial area. So.
I know when I was in college, my favorite time to go in for a workout was usually like a weekend morning, really early when it wasn't really busy. So,
Yeah, we've got a few people that work out at 2 in the morning sometimes our lunchtime seems to be a little bit lighter. We also have there's a gap between 7 and 8 a.m. And I think it's the people who had to get to work and the people coming into work. So. You can find some times where it's not too busy.
Right. So the reason we're asking all these questions is because we're going to talk about exercise routines today. And in particular, I guess recently an article came out saying it's best to vary your exercise routine.
Yeah, I actually found the article a little interesting because in the world of sports medicine, this is something that has been very heavily researched for years. If you think about specialization in sport, there's a much higher increase of injury for athletes who specialize in a sport as opposed to those who are maybe participating in 3 or 4 different activities. And CrossFit, when it was going through its, excitement phase, was really based on changing your routine every day so that your body had a harder time adapting to it. So there's really two parts to it. It's, if you just with anything, let's say you start a walking program, you walk for 1 week, next week it's going to be easier. And so you got to go a little bit farther. And if you're varying it, so now you, even with a walking program, instead of just walking around a track, maybe you're out walking up hills. Any sort of change to your routine makes your body have to work a little bit harder. And so that's one thing. And then from the other side, it's just movement patterns. So if you're always doing the same movement pattern, your bodies will adapt to it pretty quickly and may develop some accommodations and maybe not the right ones. And so if you change your movement pattern on a regular basis by whatever you're doing, you can work other muscle groups in different ways.
Okay. you know, you were talking about this, and I was thinking about people that train for marathons. They're not going to run 26 miles every day, right?
No, although some try to and wonder why they're not feeling so great. And that's a conversation I've had with, you know, many runners over the years that, you know, you can train for a marathon in, you know, 2 or 3 days a week if you're doing the right things. And there's some really good studies that show if you add a weight routine to your run training, you can significantly improve your run times. There was a recent one that looked at some cross-country runners, and they put them on a strength training routine, and they decreased their 5K time by 45 seconds just by adding in some lunges, squats, and that sort of thing. And within 4 weeks of stopping that weight training program but continuing to run, they lost all that improvement. So it's really important to add a lot of different activities into your routine if you can.
All right. Let me ask you this question, because you mentioned that you had been with Ripon Community Hospital for a long time now. That's not a criticism, by the way. That's praise. But what's the difference between your role and what a personal trainer would do?
Athletic training is based on, it started with athletes, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, and so because we're the athletic trainer is the primary healthcare provider to athletes, you know, not only do we have to be able to, be there for injuries, but we also want to prevent them. You know, that's our primary goal. And so that prevention side of things is what brings us into the strength training realm, the personal fitness type thing. You know, so I have a performance enhancement certification, I can certainly do personal training, but the focus is really on movement patterns and, you know, injury prevention and that sort of thing. And now to become an athletic trainer, it is a master's prepared program. Personal training you can have as little as a weekend course, or you can, you know, go through the entire schooling process, kinesiology major, strength and conditioning. You know, we do have a strength and conditioning specialist out at Ripon College who works a lot of hours and has a master's degree and just knows the science up and down. So we can do it, but we really try to focus on, you know, injury prevention.
Okay.
We do have personal trainers here at the hospital. We have basically you come in and you can say, hey, I want to do some personal training. We'll connect you with that person. We have a new person starting on Monday, but I never like to share that until they show up and complete their orientation. But we're excited to have maybe some additional resources coming soon.
So if you see somebody doing something and it looks like it's wrong, do you kind of pipe in on that?
Yes, it's very hard for me to work out in our facility because I find myself doing that more than I should. when we first built this facility, I'm more of a function-based person. So, in our high school setting, we would have kids who really wanted to do preacher curls where you sit over a machine and you know, try and make your biceps big. But in the world of sports, it doesn't really translate all that well. And so I really try to push athletes and kids and just the general public to doing more function, you know, and thinking, well, a squat is you getting out of the chair and, things like that. And so I really struggled to have our selectorized machines where you just push the button and now you've got a different movement based on where the cable's going. But you also need something that the general public can use and doesn't require a lot of education. So it was a little bit of a split. You can do less things wrong on those types of machines, it does help you to get into the functional aspect of things.
Okay. Going back to my high school football days, a long time ago, the phrase was, no pain, no gain. True or false?
I think kids, just in general, everyone kind of struggles with the difference between what a injury pain is versus what I worked a little harder than I should have pain. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily, I mean, pain is part of the process. Unfortunately, it just kind of depends on what pain you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You have to tear things apart in order for them to build up. But the thought process of, you know, I can't even lift my head or barely walk out of this gym because that's the only way I'm going to get better is really not the case anymore. You should leave some in the tank. If you're pushing yourself so far beyond where you can barely function the next day, then that's too much. A general rule for me is for your initial workout, if you haven't done anything in a while, you're probably going to be sore for about 3 to 5 days. That is called delayed onset muscle soreness. Can't avoid it. It's part of the deal. Can't make it better. But once you get through that first initial soreness, then we can talk about, well, okay, if you're still sore 2 days later, that's something that we probably need to look at a little bit further.
Okay. those old time coaches, you know. So anyway, Chris.
Yes, yes. We also want our kids to tell us about their injuries before it's too late. It's not fun hearing about an injury in the middle of track season that started on the first day.
Right, right. Chris, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. Appreciate your time.
For sure. Thanks much, Bob.
That is Chris Schottschneider, who is with SSM Health Ripon Community Hospital. He is their athletic training lead. We appreciate him joining us this morning.